want you to turn with me this morning to Mark's Gospel chapter 4. For those of you that have been in the services where I've preached over the last few weeks, you'll know that I've been dealing with a few subjects to do with seeds. A few weeks back I preached on being seed-minded rather than being need-minded. A lot of us focus so much on our needs. And God's solution for many of our needs is to plant a seed. Now, I know this, a lot of people equate this to money. And as I stressed a few weeks ago, I wasn't preaching about giving money. I was preaching about doing something deliberate in faith, planting a seed of faith and seeing it grow and develop. Then, last time I ministered, I brought the message on that God doesn't forget our seeds. He doesn't forget the work that we do. He doesn't forget our labor of love. He doesn't forget the things that we do for Him. And even though the seeds may have been in the ground a long time, because everybody knows you don't put a seed in the ground today and get the full crop tomorrow. You know, there's a growing process. You know, sometimes we can put some seeds or some things in the ground and forget they're even there, because they only grow perhaps once, like a daffodil bulb. You can plant a daffodil in the ground and you won't see anything until the springtime, and then you can forget it's there because it doesn't reappear until next spring. And through the summer months you have other colourful plants in your garden, and you forget the tulips and you forget the daffodils that you've got that's still in the ground, they're still growing, they're still developing, but they don't come forth until the following spring. And God never forgets a seed that you've sown. You may have forgotten it. You may have forgot that you did something in faith towards something, and because over time things develop and we're moving all the time in different zones of faith and different things, but God never forgets. Now, this morning I want to share a little bit about the value of a seed. And in Mark's Gospel chapter 4, I want to read, you know, this whole chapter is really dealing with seeds. It starts off with the parable of the sower. But I want to go straight to verse 26 this morning and just read a few verses and then just consider some things that the scripture says about the value of a seed. Verse 26 of Mark 4 says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, and he said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Amen. Now there Jesus, after teaching this parable on the sower and the seed, he begins to explain in smaller parables to his disciples about how God's kingdom functions. We know that because in verse 30 he says, how can we liken the kingdom of God? To what shall I liken the kingdom? You know, what parable, what picture shall I use to explain how the kingdom of God functions and works in your life and in my life and in the life of those he was preaching to? And then he says, it's like a, well, in two occasions, one is like a man who scatters seed on the ground. And then in the other parable he said it's like a mustard seed which is sown. So he's saying here, he's saying that the kingdom of God is, or to operate and function in God's kingdom, it's like people sowing seeds. So we see that sowing seeds is important. You know, God's method of operating and functioning is exactly the same way. God sowed seeds. Do you know, in order for you to be saved, God had to sow a seed, and he had to sow a man. He had to sow his son into the king, into the world. He gave Jesus to be the saviour of the world. And as he planted, for want of a better word, he planted Jesus in the earth so that he could get more sons. He gave his son so that he could get sons. It's the same principle. He planted a seed. In actual fact, Jesus is called the seed. It was known as the seed of Abraham in the Bible. Until, through the New Testament, it says that things happen until the seed should come. You know, the seed, it's called the seed. You know, God put him here so that you could be saved. So that he could get more sons. So God's method of operating and functioning is just the same. And if that's the way God works in God's kingdom, that's the way we should work in the kingdom of God as well. You know what a kingdom is? It's the reign and the sphere of a king's reign. Where a king, how a king rules his kingdom. The place where he operates, the place where he functions. You know, there's a beautiful scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33. And it's a scripture we know so well. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And all these things, he was talking about the needs that we have on a daily basis, like our food, our drink, our clothing. But he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added together to you." Now, in one of the modern translations, the Amplified Version, it just stretches, it gives us the understanding and the meaning of what Jesus, or one of the meanings of what Jesus was saying here. And he says here, "But seek, aim and strive after, first of all, God's kingdom and God's righteousness." Then it says, God's kingdom, God's righteousness is his way of doing and being right. God's way of functioning. God's way of doing what he does. That's the kingdom of God. God's way of doing what he does. God's rule, God's dominion in the earth. So God's kingdom is like a man who has seed. Now earlier on in the chapter, I said didn't want to read it, but I just will touch on it. Jesus taught this parable about the sower that goes out and sows seed. And, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the parable. You know that the sower went out and sowed seed, and he threw the seed, and some landed on the pavement, on the wayside, and in the parable he says that the birds of the air came down and took the seed. Now, have you ever seen birds fighting over seed? Because we've got them fighting in our garden over the seeds. We've got seeds hanging up, and, you know, they throw the seed, they scatter them everywhere. This is the birds. You wouldn't think such a small little creature can make so much mess. But they fight over the seeds. You know, one bird gets the seed and another bird goes after it and attacks it and tries to steal the seed out of its beak. You know, the birds of the air will come in and take the seed, is what he said. Then he says another lot of seed that he scattered fell amongst the stony ground. He says that seed was good, it took root, it began to grow, but because there was no depth of soil, there was nowhere for the roots to go deep, the seed soon withered and died. Then he threw some more seed and scattered more seed, and that fell in the thorny ground. And the thorns grew quicker than the little seedlings could grow, and they choked and smothered the seed so that they didn't come to fruition. Then he says, finally, he says that some of the seed fell into good ground where it grew up and produced a great crop. You know, and as Jesus finished that parable a little bit later on in the day, the disciples came to him and said, "Jesus, we didn't understand the meaning of the parable. Can you tell us what you meant in that message that you preached this morning?" And so Jesus began to explain to them. Look, he says, this is the meaning of the parable. And the first thing he said He said, the sower sows, now he was sowing seed. He says, the sower sows the word. God's word. You know, God's word is the currency of God's kingdom. Now, if you go to the shops today, you go down into town in this country, you have to use pounds and pence in order to purchase anything. You know, you often hear people say, money makes the world go round. Now, whereas that might be true in economic circles and the way the bankers talk, but if you want to buy anything in town, you need pounds. When I went to Ghana at the beginning of the year, I took with me a pocket full of pounds. Because that's all I could take. Well, I could have taken dollars. I could have taken American dollars. But I took a pocket full of pounds. But my pound did not buy me anything in Ghana. I had to turn that pound into the Ghana cedi. If you go down to Nigeria with pounds, your pound will not buy you anything. Because you need to turn that into the local currency, the Naira. Wherever you go in the world, if you go into France or Spain, you need to convert your pound into a euro. Because each country operates by its own currency. And you certainly can't spend, you might be able to get away with pounds in some of these countries. Because it's a national recognised currency. But you certainly can't spend a Ghana cedi in Wisbech. And I've got a few of them. You can't spend any of those currencies in Wisbech. Because you need to operate in the currency that the place you're in. And if you're in the kingdom of God, you need to operate in the correct currency. And the currency is the word of God. That's how we plant seeds in God's kingdom. We use the word of God. The sower sows the word. Remember what he says here. Why does he says, the ones that were sown by the wayside, he says, the birds of the air came in and stole the seed. They took the seed. Now, why did Jesus use that? He's saying, look, he said, the devil comes immediately. That's what it says in the script. He said, Satan comes immediately the word is sown. Because he wants to steal that seed. Why does he want to steal that seed? Well, he wants to take them, what's it say, I should say, let's read it in verse 15. He says, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And to finish the quotation, you need to go into Luke's Gospel, because Jesus in Luke's Gospel says, lest you believe and be saved. In other words, that word, if you believe that word, you put your trust in that word that was sown. But we immediately think of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. You know, lest you believe and be saved. See, if you use the word of God and the word of God is sown properly and you believe it and you trust it, it's going to produce. You see that in the good ground. It produces. It's got to produce. Every seed has got to grow. So Satan comes to try and take the seed away, first of all. Take the word away. Because if you believe it, you're going to be, I'm going to use the term saved, but if you know anything about the Greek, you know that Greek word there, saved, is the Greek word sozo, which means to save, to heal, to deliver, and to make whole. So if you believe the word that's sown, you will be made whole. You will be delivered of your sin and your captivity and the things that are binding you, delivered from the devil's grasp. You will be saved. Have your sins forgiven, you will be healed. Have your bodies made whole. You know, because that's what salvation is. It's not just a something that we do for the forgiveness of our sins. Salvation is, you know, God's plan for the wholeness of his creation. Lest you believe and be saved. That's why the devil wants to come and steal the word of God away from you, from our hearts. Because if we believe it, we will receive all that God wants us to have. All that God wants to do for us. Then it goes on, it says, look, it says, then the ones that were sown in the stony ground, he said, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. And because they've got no root in themselves and endure only for a time, afterward when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Did you know one of the biggest issues when it comes to do with planting seeds is time, because we're impatient. Now you can plant some seeds and see the results very quickly. I'm not a great gardener, but I've grown a few things over the years, and I've read some books, and I'm told, and I've done it through experience, that something like a radish is one of the quickest things to grow. You can plant a radish seed and see the results very, very quickly. I planted some beans a few weeks ago, I told you that. You know, all those beans, except for two of them, came up. And now I had more plants than what I needed. I planted, I think, whatever it was, 54 plants or something like that, and I've only got 30 or so in the stretch of ground. But they all came up. They were quite quick. It took a week or two, but they came up. Now, if you're planting other things, they can take longer. Now you want to plant a tree. You pop an acorn in the ground. You may not see the results of that for months, maybe even years. But it's slowly growing. You know, time is always a big issue when it comes to planting seeds. And it's because it takes so long sometimes for things to grow. Even in the spirit, it takes so long. Because we want everything now. We live in a society that we don't want to wait for the coffee to percolate so we get a jar of instant. We can't wait for the meal to sit in the oven for 2 hours, so we stick it in the microwave and speed it up by so it's done in 10 minutes. And we bring that impatience into our faith life. We say, well, we want this, we want it, God, we want it now. I want you to answer this prayer right now. Now, God may answer it right now, but very often it's going to require you to stand in faith. You've got to persevere. You've got to endure. You've got to stand the test. You've got to wait for that seed of faith to grow and put its roots down and begin to shoot up, because there is a progression. And Jesus taught that. He says, well, look, he says, the earth yields crops by itself. First you get the blade. Then you get the head. Then after that, you get the full grain in the head. And then after that, then you can put in the sickle and reap the crop. So there's a progression of growth, and it's the same with every seed, every faith seed we grow. Now this might sound like I'm preaching against myself, contradicting myself, but don't expect your seed to be planted today and you to be living in the results of it tomorrow. Because it might take time. You know, that's time is the biggest thing. We saw that in our studies on the race of faith. Time is the biggest enemy of our faith. When they have no root in themselves, they endure only for a time. After that, tribulation and persecution arises, and immediately they stumble, immediately they quit, immediately they give up. That's the stony ground. Then what about the thorny ground? Jesus went on to explain, he says, look, the ones that are sown among the thorns, they're the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, the needs, the bills, the problems, the pains. They come in and they choke the word so that it becomes unfruitful. You know, they appear in our lives. And that's going back to my first message about being seed-minded rather than need. They appear so big in our life. The needs, the problems, you know, the desires for other things, the cares of the world. They choke the life out of the word. So we've got to be patient. You know, the Bible says this, and it's been touched on this morning already, in the book of Hebrews. It tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. You know, to confess, it was said earlier on, is good for the soul. And why is it good for the soul? Because the word confession literally means to say the same things. It comes, it's the Greek word homologia, which is homos, which means the same, and logia, the word, or to speak. To say the same thing. Confession. Keep saying the same thing. It's like being patient while the seed grows. You know, allow the seed to grow. You know, so when you've got a need in your life, the value of your seed is to speak what God has said. You know, you often hear people say that, well, we need. I've got a big need. I've got a big need. I need a lot of faith. I need a lot of seed. You don't need a lot of faith. All you need to do is use the faith you've got. Plant the seed. Speak what God has said. That's how you plant words. You know, let's just go to Mark's Gospel, shall we, chapter 11. Here Jesus is talking the same thing. You know what's happening? He's going into Jerusalem. He stopped at Bethany. He stopped at his friend's house the night. His friends, Mary, Martha and Lazarus, he's been in their home. This is the final week. This is what in the church we refer to as Holy Week. Just before it's leading up to the crucifixion, it's Passover week that's coming up. And Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's stopping with his friends, Mary, Martha and Lazarus, out at their home in Bethany. And on the morning he goes into town. And as he's going into town, he's feeling a bit peckish, he's feeling a bit hungry, so he goes up to a tree, a fig tree which he's expecting to get fruit from, and he goes there and he sees that there's no fruit on this tree. So Jesus says, this is Mark 11, and let's just get the scripture, it's verse 13, he says, seeing a fig tree from afar, having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And Jesus says, in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you again. Now he's using his words. Let no one eat fruit from you again. He says, and his disciples heard it. Now, I guess that they thought nothing else of it. I certainly don't expect the disciples ever thought any more about that tree. They went into Jerusalem, they went and did all the things they needed to do that day. They went back to Bethany at night to stop with their friends Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Now the next morning they wanted to go into town again, so they got up, they went through town, and as they were passing that spot where that fig tree was, Peter remarked, he said, Jesus, he said, look at that tree. A tree that you spoke to yesterday, he said, it was dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said, let no one eat fruit from you again. And Jesus used that as an example. And he said, look, he says, you've got to have faith in God. You've got to believe God. You've got to trust God. And how do you operate your faith? He says, you say to the mountain, be removed. And be cast into the sea. You speak to the tree and tell it to die. And in Luke's Gospel it says, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. You speak to your problem. You quote the word of God at your problem. You tell it what it's going to do. You use faith. You believe the words that you speak will produce what you intend them to produce. That's how God created the world. He spoke. He says, look, he had a plan. He knew what he wanted in his mind, and he started speaking that plan into operation. He said, let there be light. And the Bible says, light was. Let the earth produce. You know, let the stars be put in the skies. You know, let the trees grow. He spoke every part of his creation into being. He spoke it with his words. And And that's, Jesus told us, that's how we are to operate in the kingdom of God. You know, the value of your seed is the value of your words. Now, a lot of our problem, and I'll finish with this. Jesus said that we will have whatsoever we say. Let's read it in verse 23. It says, assuredly, he didn't say it might happen. He says, assuredly, this is sure and certain. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever, not just the pastor or the preacher or the evangelist, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The key word there is believes that those things he says. Now that's our problem. You say, well, I believe when I was just saying, I believe the word of God. Yeah, but for too long, it's a time thing. You know, if we really, really believe the things we say, it would happen just like that. When we say to that sickness, die in Jesus' name, it would be instant. But why does it take a long time? Because for years, and some of us have a few more than others, for years we've trained our bodies not to believe the things we say. We use phrases which we don't really mean to say. I just wrote a few down this morning. Because we say, well, these are just figures of speech. These are just things. Yes, but we say them, but we don't really mean what we're saying. Things like, when someone or something upsets you, you're standing in the queue at the post office and you see someone pushing in front of you or something like that. You say, that just makes me sick. If you believe that, you would be sick straight away. You've been on your feet all day at work. You can't, my feet are just killing me. You don't really believe that, otherwise you'd be dead. Another one is, that just scared me to death. Again, another one, you'd die. If you really believe what you were saying, you'd die. One you are here said, you could knock me down with a feather. So we don't really believe these things that we say, but we say them all the time. We become so conditioned to saying, and our bodies and our spirits become so conditioned to not believe in the words we speak. Have you heard this one? If it's going to happen to anybody, it's going to happen to me. And there's other things we say. We're talking about the things of God. We might hear a great testimony of God doing something. We say, wow, that's incredible. The word incredible means it cannot be believed. Credible is to talk about the genuineness of it. If it's something is credible, they say it's genuine. You say it's incredible, it's not genuine. It cannot be believed. Or another word is, we say, you know, it was just fantastic. The root word of that is from fantasy. Something that's not true. Yet we say these things all the time in the part of our daily life, and we become so accustomed to saying them that we don't really believe the words we speak. And we can say that all day long, and then at night we can get home with our problems and we can say, I believe I receive. Well, it's going to take a few more. You've got to say that quite a few times before it gets into your spirit that you really, really believe the things you're saying. Because your body is so accustomed. You know that pain in your body? Yeah, body, I call you into life. I tell you to be healed. Well, all through the day you've been saying things that you don't believe. So why should your body believe you saying this one? So you've got to work on it. It takes time. You've got to begin sowing seed. You've got to begin planting. Some of us might have to change the things we say. Change our vocabulary. You evaluate every word we speak. No, the scripture says this in the Old Testament. It says that, let your words be few. You are God in heaven. So let your words be few. Let your words, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, the scripture says. Do you know the best thing we can say when we're standing in faith? We speak the word of God, and then the best thing we can say next is nothing. So absolutely nothing. Keep our mouths shut and our hearts in tune with God. And only speak the things that we really believe. Because if we really believe the things we say, we shall have whatsoever we say. That's the value of your seed. Sowing your seed. Sowing the word of God. That's how we sow the word. We speak it. You know, I'll just close with one more scripture in the book of Corinthians, I believe it is. Yes, it is. The Apostle Paul writes. And he's talking about, he's saying, look, he says, we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Do you feel like that? Hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And then he goes on and says this, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. We speak what we believe. And then once we've confessed, if we confess, what's that scripture saying, Hebrews? We hold fast the confession, we speak the same things that God speaks. That's confession, speaking the same things that God speaks. If we do that without wavering, he who promised is faithful. And what we've got to learn is we've got to learn to say the right things. We've got to speak the truth. Do you know it's so easy for us to we can believe a lie a lot easier than we can the truth. If I was I don't like to use this as an illustration, but if somebody came up to us today and said something like someone has died. Do you know, just that statement can have such an effect on us. We can hook on to what they say, we can, even though we may not know the truth. They may just come up and say, it can affect our emotions, it can go right down deep into our heart, and we can believe, and yet it could be a lie. We become so accustomed to doing that. So when we see what God says, let's believe. You know, God says a lot of things which appear to be contrary to the way we believe. Because we know we live in a body that gets sick. You know, we have problems. And we start to say, we start to confess those words. We start to say, yeah, it's bad. It's worse. It's growing. It's getting worse and it's getting worse. I'm sick. I'm cast down. Now, they may be facts, but the truth is, God says, with his stripes, you're healed. Yet when we say that, we say, well, that's lying, because it's not speaking. No. That's speaking the truth. God's word is truth. God's word is true. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, God's word is true. Doesn't matter what our body says, God's word is true. Doesn't matter what our situation is, God's word is true. Doesn't matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, God's word is true. True. And that's where we've got to come to, that God's word is true. Doesn't matter whether if an angel from heaven came and said something that was contrary to this word, we still say God's word is true. Yet a lot of us, we like to think we believe the visions, we believe the angels, we believe this, we believe that. And we say, well, this is happening, but it all goes contrary to what God says. We've got to come to that point where, like it was the Apostle Paul, I believe it was in Romans, he says, we've got to come to that point where we've got to say, God is true and every man is a liar. God is true. So we start speaking what God says. Now we've got to sow a few seeds. We've got to change our vocab. We've got to change the things we say. But the value of our seed is that it will produce every time. If we sow it in faith. So let's let me challenge you this morning to evaluate the words you say. You know, I've been checking my words for many years now. Still make mistakes, and I still say things which are often, did I really say that? You know, but, you know, God is quick now to challenge me. If I say something, and I heard myself saying something the other day, and this little voice is up to, did you really mean that? No, I didn't mean that. Sorry, Lord. You know, take it back. Let me challenge you to evaluate your words. You catch yourself saying something like, you only should say what things you mean. If you don't really mean what you're saying, don't say it. So let's get this death and thing vocabulary out of our mouths. Let's start speaking what God says. You know, once we start doing that, the more we tune up our vocabulary, we'll start seeing things happen. And they become more and more instant. Jenny and Anthony and Jenny will be with us in a few weeks' time. Now, I won't forget the very first message I heard Jenny preach. And it was how to get from where you are today to where you want to be. And it was basically along the lines of this. You know, it's about speaking the word of God. But she said, do we see things happen like that? Is it immediate? If it's not immediate, then we've got some progression to do. Now one day, I know we're all a work in progress. You know, we've all got things to do. But there's going to come a day where we're going to be perfect. Pure, holy, blameless. You know, we've had it in our studies over the last few weeks. But until then, there's work to do. We've got to evaluate every part of our life. Evaluate our faith. Where do we stand? Do we believe what God says? Or are we believing what somebody else says? Or is we believing a reported speech? You know, my friend said to me that this happened and that happened. Does it line up with what God says? That's the bottom line. Confession is good for the soul. Speaking the same things. You're not lying. Others might think you're lying. You might even think it yourself to start with when you're loaded down with sickness and disease and you stand up and you say, I am healed. I've took a lot of criticism for over the years because I wouldn't say I was sick. I will not say. Now, I've sinned a few times, so I'll confess that. I've said it quite a few times. Oh, I just feel so rough, feel so sick. But it's not what God's word says. You know, if you start declaring that, you'll start to see things happen quicker. You'll find your healing comes quicker. You'll find things change quicker. You'll find things, and very soon you'll find that, hey, I haven't been sick for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, because you're starting to change the way you believe and the way you speak. I must shut up. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just give you thanks and praise this morning, Lord, that you've, Lord, taught us, Lord, about the value of our seeds that we sow. Lord, the importance of the seeds we sow. Lord, the things we say with our mouths. Lord, the seeds that we release into the atmosphere, Lord, as we speak. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that yes, Lord, confession is good for us, Lord. But Lord, so long as our confession, Lord, is what you're saying, Lord, about us. Lord, that we can declare with, Lord, without any condemnation, Father, Lord, that we are righteous, we are healed, Father, Lord, that we are, Lord, justified, Lord, we are made as though we've never sinned, Father, Lord, that we are saints, Lord, we can declare all these things, Father. Lord, people may look down upon us, and Lord, others may not understand the things we're saying, but Lord, we're declaring, Lord, what you said about us. Lord, and if you said it, it's got to be true. So Father, we just give you praise and we give you thanks. Now Father, teach us, Lord, in these coming weeks and months, Lord, just to evaluate some of the things, Lord, that we say. Lord, that you'll bring us to the point, Lord, where the things, Lord, we say with our mouths, we see happen very quickly. Father, Lord, that, Lord, almost immediately, Father. Lord, when we speak to sicknesses, Lord, we see them die in Jesus' name. When we speak to those that have Lord, demonic possession. Lord, that we see those demons cast out straight away. Lord, with just one word you cast them out. Father, Lord, your purpose for us is, Lord, to bring us into that image. Lord, that likeness of Christ Jesus. So, Father, Lord, we just, Lord, just pray, Lord, that you'll work on us. Lord, over these coming weeks and months, Lord. Lord, to root out all that's not of you. Father, Lord, and to plant, Lord, the truth, Lord, of your word in our hearts. So, Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.